Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Two people dead in plane crash at Topeka Airport. We've got the story.
Wichita voters are headed to the polls today. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Three traffic fatalities in Wichita over the weekend. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Trump White House shakeup. I'm ABC's Kenneth Moten, the communications director known as the Mooch, is out. I'll have the report coming up from Washington.
The controversy over a Princess Diana documentary. I'm ABC's Jason Athanson with that coming up.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. Yesterday, we measured 0.03 inches of precipitation in Wichita. Did the clouds move out? Do we see any more rain? Our forecast is coming up.
A small plane crashed Monday night at Ballard's Airport in Ballard Airport, in northeast Topeka, killing two people. Shawnee County Dispatch says the crash happened around 8:45 p.m. Kansas Highway Patrol reports 76-year-old William Leeds of Mission and 55-year-old James Bergman of Leewood were killed in the crash. Both were killed when the plane missed the runway and hit the ground at a high rate of speed. Eric Johnson with the Metropolitan Topeka Airport Authority says the FAA has been notified and will investigate the crash.
Today is primary election day in Sedgwick County.
Wichita City Council District 1 voters will select two candidates from the field of four to face off in the general election in November. There were not enough candidates for City Council Districts 2 and 6, nor Wichita Board of Education Districts 1, 2, 5, and 6 to justify a primary. Those candidates will face off November 7th. In today's primary, District 1 voters will choose two candidates from the field, Brandon Johnson, Mike Kennard, John Stevens, and Janet Wilson. Voters in Hayesville City Council Ward 4 and Park City Ward 3 are also going to the polls today. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Another Trump administration official is out. Communications Director, Director Anthony Scaramucci resigned just 11 days after taking the White House post.
The Trump White House now dealing with the ousting of Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci, known as the Mooch. Scaramucci's profanity-laced tirade to a reporter calling now ex-Chief of Staff Rex Priebus an expletive paranoid schizophrenic apparently crossed the line. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
The president certainly felt that Anthony's comments were inappropriate for a person in that position.
President Trump, no stranger to colorful language himself, hoping to turn the page with his new chief of staff, John Kelly. Kenneth Moten, ABC News, Washington.
It was a deadly weekend on Wichita streets with three traffic fatalities in 3 days, one Friday, one Saturday, and one Sunday. It was late Sunday night. The police were called to a scene near Kellogg and Washington where a car was upside down on Kellogg.
The investigation showed a 2006 Chevy Impala was traveling on the ramp, I-135, to westbound Kellogg, lost control, and struck a concrete barrier, which caused the vehicle to roll.
Police officer Charlie Davidson says a passenger in the car, a 44-year-old man, died at the scene. Four other people in the car, two men and two women, were all hospitalized, including two in critical condition.
People living in downtown in Jasper, Alabama, have been asked to stay indoors. The search continues for one of the inmates who escaped from the county jail over the weekend. ABC's Clayton Sandell reports authorities are now revealing how the inmates tricked a guard.
The sheriff in Walker County, Alabama, says the inmates used peanut butter to make a smooth escape.
That may sound crazy, but these people are crazy like a fox.
A dozen inmates with rap sheets, including attempted murder and robbery, allegedly using that peanut butter to change numbers above a jail door, tricking a new employee into thinking he was opening a cell.
24-year-old Brady Kilpatrick, who was jailed on drug-related charges, is the only inmate who remains on the loose. 11 other inmates have been recaptured. KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
And we're about 10 minutes away from our daily chat with Mitch Holthus from Kansas City Chiefs training camp. That's in 10 minutes. Make sure you're here for that.
Secrets of people who live past 100. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted, now 8:07, 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. A new advertising campaign speaks out against tearing down Wichita's Century 2 Convention Center. Mayor Jeff Longwell tells KNSS News the city needs to collect more information.
For anyone to say we're ready to tear it down is just sending out misinformation. We don't know what we want to do with Century 2. We think that it's an iconic building. We think that it could have some significant life left in it, but it has issues.
The mayor says citizens need to be involved in the fate of the facility, which opened in 1969.
I'm not so sure we shouldn't just simply put it to a vote. We can do that maybe later this year and just say, what do you want to do with Century 2?
Longwell commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted Show here on KNSS.
Controversy over a new look at a beloved British princess.
Does an upcoming documentary on Princess Diana go too far? That's what her former butler is saying. Paul Burrell says the recordings of Diana talking about her failed marriage to Prince Charles, which are heard in Diana in her own words, were private and meant to stay private.
I don't think they should be broadcast. It's almost like raiding her diary. That's wrong. That shouldn't be. It can only upset Prince William and Prince Harry.
The documentary airs Sunday in the UK and August 14th on the National Geographic Channel. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Secrets of people who live past the age of 100? Well, the oldest known living person in St. Louis celebrated her 110th birthday Monday.
At 110, Dorothy Hunter still lives independently, dresses herself, and reads 5 books a week. She taught her favorite grade, third grade, for 25 years.
It's a perfect age because the groundwork has been laid and all I had to do was have fun and teach.
Hunter calls the civil rights movement one of the most significant events in her life. Jill Enters, ABC News, St. Louis.
KNSS News Time now, 8:09, 9 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We have a truck on fire southbound I-135 right at Kellogg. So watch for a slowdown here. A while back, I got a call from traffic tracker Bill letting us know about this one. Bill said at that time that the southbound lanes, the left lane southbound was closed. So truck fire there, southbound I-135 at Kellogg. KNSS traffic, I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Well, good morning. Light rain will come to an end this morning and continue to move on off to the southeast. Clouds may stick around for a while, though, with temperatures in the upper 70s by around noontime, 84 this afternoon. Tonight, a break in the clouds with an overnight low 68, and will be warm and dry tomorrow, Wednesday, 88. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Currently cloudy and 69 degrees, south wind at 5 miles per hour. And tell you what, that temperature has been set at 69 degrees here in Wichita for the past several hours this morning. Mild day across south central Kansas Monday. The high temperature in Wichita yesterday, 75 degrees. And if it seems like that's a little cool for this time of year, it is. Normal high for the date, 92. 75 yesterday. As the cloud cover stayed over the top of Wichita and south central Kansas, and that kept the sun from coming out and heating things up yesterday. 75 for a high yesterday, and yesterday afternoon it was almost pleasant out there, especially for the last day in July. A thrill-seeking couple took the plunge quite literally. They screamed, "I do," as they plummeted 20 stories on a Superman-themed roller coaster at Six Flags New England. And as soon as that ride was over, Ashley Schiller and Tom Marchetti got back on and did it again with a second batch of wedding guests in tow. The groom's uneasiness, his queasiness, prevented a third trip. So the groom, apparently Tom, was starting to get a little seasick after two consecutive rides on the roller coaster.
Two rides was enough, apparently.
The bride is a lifelong amusement park enthusiast who once had her parents buy thick-soled shoes to make her taller so she could meet height requirements.
You must be this
on
tall.
On certain roads, or certain rides, you have to be this tall.
Yeah.
She told the Providence Journal she had dreamed of the moment since she was 8 years old.
Getting married on a roller coaster.
Yeah, and then a lot of people have compared marriage to a roller coaster ride.
Sure.
And this literally, starting theirs off, it literally was or is.
So do you like the roller coasters, Steve? Are you a roller coaster guy?
You know, when I was a kid, I was scared to death. I think I finally got on the one at Joyland when I was about 13, maybe. As a matter of fact, I was at the park with a young woman, a junior high school friend. And she and I went there on a kind of, well, I guess it was a date.
Escorting a young woman.
And she said, want to go on the roller coaster ride? Of course, I couldn't be like I was when a kid. No, I'm frightened. I said, sure, I love it. Got on there and just scared the pants off of the old roller coaster
out of
Joyland made out of wood. And you thought it was going to fall apart every time you went down that first bump.
That thing was rickety through and through.
Then I was hooked, and I had to go. I had to go all the time. And I've been in the one up in what's the one Worlds of Fun where they is there one there where they just kind of strap you in and your legs dangle?
They have one of those. I'm sure there is.
That's not really a roller coaster ride, I guess.
No, so, I'm a wooden roller coaster.
Roller coaster. Yeah. Well, where's the closest one now?
Well, I mean, Kansas City. They have the Timberwolf.
Is that one? Yeah. Okay. All right. But I don't think I'd want to exchange my vows on a roller coaster.
It's a little noisy.
Yeah. Police are investigating a bizarre heist of a 1,700-pound barbecue pit.
Whoa.
From a popular Albuquerque restaurant, the Albuquerque Journal reports police say the black and red 200-gallon smoker was stolen early Sunday. Ooh. Daniel Morgan, the owner of Pepper's Old Fashioned BBQ, says the smoker was cooking up a batch of brisket, but it was taken. So they got the brisket, too.
Just follow the smell of the brisket.
They just
find the perpetrator.
Take the brisket. Morgan says most of the meat the restaurant serves is prepared in an indoor barbecue pit, and he uses the custom-built apparatus for catering gigs. In other words, going out and, you know, doing parties and such. No arrests have been made in the case. Morgan says he considered launching a crowdfunding page to help cover the $5,800 cost of a replacement.
Whoa.
$5,800.
Yeah, somebody... Just walk off with that. Somebody had to plan that one.
Somebody saw something. They need an Albuquerque down there. They need to go to Crime Stoppers and say, hey, where's the barbecue? Who stole the brisket?
Yeah. How do you hide that thing?
And you'd have to have some sort of vehicle, I would think, to haul it off.
Yes.
Of course, you go to City Hall and check with police every day, and I know that you bring back some stories, some stories now, Ted, about people stealing great big machinery, you know.
See it all the time.
Stuff that it would take a truck, a flatbed, or something like that to take away. But that's in Albuquerque.
This one reminds me of one of the ones a couple years ago. We had somebody steal that. Remember that? Somebody stole an 800-pound wok.
A wok.
From a Chinese restaurant there somewhere on North Broadway. Like, how do you steal an 800-pound wok?
Yeah. You'd have to have a front loader of some kind.
I know.
Yeah, but criminals being criminals, you know, they can be inventive, I suppose. Today is sort of election day in Wichita. One district, City Council District 1, you've been listening to our news this morning. We're covering this. Just one district has enough people interested to make a primary out of it. The other districts are going to have an election for City Council in November, but they don't have enough candidates to want to clean them out to two candidates. So there you go. I don't even know why they have a primary. Why they just put the four all on the ballot in November and be done with it.
You got to winnow them down.
Got to winnow them down. That's the way we've done things here
in
Wichita.
It's done.
For many, many years.
Sometimes you get primary elections that are hugely impactful.
Yeah. But
this might not be one of them.
Seldom do you have a very good turnout on any of them. So we're not looking for a lot of people to go to the polls in District 1 today, but we'll keep you posted on what happens there. 8:16, Steve and Ted in the morning. Time for the Kansas City Chiefs training camp update with Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Rusty Eck Ford. Mitch Holtis with us again this morning. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, Mac. And I would say vote in Steve McIntosh. Let's put Mac back.
A right in?
We're going to put him, but let's put him back.
Yeah, back in the institution, huh?
Well, that's another matter, but your parole officer's that's right outside.
Yeah, true. So.
Kansas City Chiefs training camp in St. Joseph, Missouri. Speaking of which, Mitch, how about the weather here in July and August, which could be insanely terrible, and we've had a 180 on that. It's awesome, isn't it?
Well, the three of us, the Yokels, have all experienced insanely terrible. In fact, experiencing insanely terrible about 2 weeks before camp starts, thinking, if this is camp, oh, my gosh. But this feels like the Wisconsin days.
Yeah.
I mean, these mornings are so pleasant. We had a nice crowd, not a huge crowd yesterday. We're expecting a few more today. It's going an hour later today. But the weather is so conducive to getting everything Andy Reid wants done. And by the way, shout out to the folks at American Ag Credit, Greg Reno and Jenny Bracken and all the others that make it happen. They're unbelievably great folks, even though Greg likes to drive around Pretty Prairie a lot. But other than that, you know, I think he's okay. But, yeah, we're back at it, but the weather's amazing.
Well, and Mitch, you mentioned the crowds, and we could remind people that this is a great opportunity for fans of the Chiefs to head up to St. Joseph, which is not that far away, and to just get their eyeballs and just be so close to the players at this time of the year. And what a fun experience that is to go see training camp in person.
I'll bump into Wichitans or the environs thereof, gosh, almost every day up here. And here's what they do. They could do a little vacay. And they'll, you know, you can hit a Royals game, come up to training camp. It's so accessible. It's super family friendly. It's cheap. And literally, it's an hour north of the K. I mean, we're as close to the airport here as we are when we're at Arrowhead Stadium. So it's very convenient. And it's, we get Wichitans every day. You can do a staycation for the Visit Wichita folks, of course. I like to pump, but then head up here and do a little of this.
Monday's practice. What's going on at training camp, Mitch?
Well, yesterday, actually, it was a little bit of a laboratory, kind of live laboratory in pads. The encouraging thing was both quarterbacks engineered 88-yard drives. Andy Reid's very time score situation kind of guy, and he'll put up on the clock, you know, 6:51 to go. You need a touchdown. You don't need three to tie or win. You got to get a touchdown. And Alex Smith has actually been very accurate on his starts. What it was encouraging me was he was able to convert some third and seven or mores. Then Patrick Mahomes came in, and the fresh kid, new kid, came in and lit it up again. He goes 88 yards in eight plays and made a couple of spectacular plays and throws. So you see that it's coming. He just has a long way to go. I would say, too, and I've been trying to hit the elite players on this team. There's six players, in my opinion, that are either number one or two in the NFL at their position. And Marcus Peters, the cornerback, is definitely one of those. In 2 years, 14 interceptions, two pick sixes,
wow.
Defensive rookie of the year in the NFL, 46 passes defended. That's the best in the league in 2 years, which, by the way, is his first 2 years in the league. He is a superb athlete.
Let's contrast for a minute going from college football to professional football. I always think about what goes on in what these kids, these young people have to learn and all the different plays. It is far more sophisticated, I suppose, when you get to training camp for the Chiefs, huh?
Very similar to when the great high school player has to go to college and then do the same thing. It's the numbering, it's the naming, it's everything. For example, in college now, in high schools, you go to most games on a Friday night in the Wichita area, a lot of people are running the spread offense. They'll all look to the sideline, and it'll be Edward Rudolphy Duck, Mike Pelfrey, Landry Shamet. They got a card up there you look at. And then Landry Shamet, that's what we're going to run. In the NFL, that doesn't work because they know your card. And they know Landry Shamet and what time he brushes his teeth. So they're running Landry Shamet, and you got no chance. So you get it radioed in to a quarterback, 939 scat protection, F-drag, wide choice. I have to explain all that, can't do it again, to everybody in the huddle. Then I come to line of scrimmage in less than 15 seconds, declare the Mike backer, because that's where we're going to set our blocking off the middle. Football's an odd-numbered game. And then I set that. Now I may have to audible. The center's making a line call. Blue nine, that might change the call of the protection. That all happens within 10 to 15 seconds.
Right.
Honestly, that does not happen in college football.
Hmm. So much more sophisticated. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it is. It seriously is. And that's why these guys meet. I mean, this is wall-to-wall football, mental and physical.
Terrific.
And they have walkthroughs now in the afternoon because of collective bargain agreement. Instead of full-fledged practices, but they meet in the evenings, and they meet in the mornings, and they have treatments, and we're getting ready to practice. Then we practice. Then there's treatments. Then they eat. Then they get. There's the 1 hour that they get which is their precious 1 hour of the day. Most of them nap, like Steve and I like to do, Ted. And but then they go right back out. Then it's walk through, meet, eat, meet, sleep as much as you can. You do it all over again, over and over and over, because there's a new flood of information coming at you every day.
Wow. You know, one of the great stars of the AFL, Dave Grayson, passed away yesterday.
Oh.
Still leads the AFL all-time in interceptions. Wouldn't it be great if Marcus Peters could become the next Dave Grayson? He's already well on his way, isn't he?
Well, 14 and 2 years is a pretty good start.
Whew.
And then the thing with Peters, even more than Grayson, was Marcus is a stop-and-go defender, meaning he not only will stop you, he's going the other way.
Yeah.
And if you mess with him a little too much, you'll light up the scoreboard for the other team. And that's what the league is learning to appreciate about him. So I call him the Tuskegee Airman. He's a fighter pilot, the red tail out there, and he has got a chance to be, if he handles it, even a Hall of Fame type player.
What's on tap at practice today, Mitch?
Well, it's going to be more situational work. A few more special teams work. They're not in pads today. Andy's got to decide. You're limited on how many days you can have in pads, and Andy strategically places those. So this is going to be some more situational work, more red zone work today, but a lot more special teams work as well, which arguably the last 4 years, the Chiefs as an aggregate, have been the best special teams unit in the entire National Football League.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning, Mitch.
See you guys.
All right. Thanks. The Kansas City Chiefs training camp update with Mitch Holtis. Every day right here with Steve and Ted, brought to you by Rusty Eck Ford. 8:23, Steve and Ted. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. President Trump speaks out against a violent gang. KNSS, Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.